All right. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. We're going to continue. Well, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you guys wearing green? No? Okay. Oh, good. Good, 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 good. Well, maybe green is the Ephesians color that we're going to have through this whole thing, but we're going to continue through that Ephesians study. And it's just been so good to go through 1 through 3 and part of chapter 4 with Kyle. And we talked about every spiritual blessing that we can have, right? The spiritual inheritance that God has given us. We've talked about being made alive in Christ, how we have a new identity. We've talked about God desiring unity within the church. And Kyle talked about growing and being mature in Christ. And I'm going to continue that theme today, that after all this stuff that Paul went over, what is our response to him and what he's done? And the thing is, we want to grow. We want to be more spiritually mature. We want to grow closer to the Lord. So I'm going to go over that today. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 4. We're going to go through verses 17 to 32. But the first thing that Paul talks about in this section of Scripture is that he talks about this is the worldly lifestyle. The worldly lifestyle. And so if you have your Bibles, verses 17 through 19, and it's up there, Damon. All right, awesome. Let's go. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to this hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Paul warns us, don't be like the Gentiles. Okay, and if you look in different translations, Bible translations, they have different words for the word Gentile. Because I was thinking, first of all, I was like, oh, does it mean like just the people that aren't Jews, don't be like them? I'm like, no, it can't be that. So this is some of the words that other translations use. So it says, don't be like other nations, or don't be like unbelieving Gentiles, or heathens, or the one that I thought was very funny. It said, or stupid, godless people. And if you have the contemporary English version, that's what yours says. Stupid, godless people. But no matter what your translation says, what Paul is talking about is the people who don't follow Jesus. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. Because they're in this cycle of life without Jesus. And he goes on to explain, what are the symptoms of not having God in your life? So he goes over, he says, hopelessly, they're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives. They've closed their minds, hardened their hearts against him. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Okay? It's right up there. It says that. And it's interesting that Paul says all this, because I think, you know, sometimes we've heard people say this, like, Christianity, oh man, that religion is so restrictive. I mean, I can't do this, I can't do that. I want to do what I want to do. I am, you know, they don't say this, but basically what they're saying is, I want to be the king that sits on the throne. So don't give me this Christianity, the Bible, and going to church and everything, because they just want to control you, right? Paul is saying, this is what happens when you don't have God in your life. These are the symptoms. This is what you can see in people's lives. And in fact, he takes the sheet off of the whole that life, and he goes, that life, this is the true nature of that life. Okay, we may have a certain thought of what it is, but he pulls it off and he goes, no, that life is filled with blindness, darkness, pride, stubbornness, confusion, lustful pleasures, and impurity. Now, those things may in the moment feel like, oh man, this is awesome. This is the best life I can have. But that is not true. In the moment, it may feel okay, but later on, the guilt comes in. Later on, the fear comes in. Later on, rejection, isolation, depression, desperation, hopelessness, and all the friends of that anti-fruit come in to torment that person. Because those things are not just feelings. Those things are connected with the other side. Demons, right? They come in and they torment that person without Jesus. Is that the life cycle? Is that the kind of life that we want? He's saying, no. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. That kind of living and living by the flesh only leads to death. Romans 8, 6 through 8, it says this. The mind governed by the flesh is life, right? You live by the flesh, you get life. No, that's not what he says. The life, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Man, I don't want to live a life like that where God is not pleased. I don't want to live a life where I'm hostile to God, where God is my enemy. I don't want that kind of life. And this is why Paul is exhorting the Ephesians and us to not live like unbelievers. Because this life only leads to death. Only leads to death. He knows of a way. He said it in Romans. I know a way of life that leads to life and to peace. And it's by staying connected with the Holy Spirit. It's by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's how we burn brighter and brighter for Him every day, by staying connected to Him. You know, when I became a Christian in college, and I remember, like, you know, you go to college, and as you enter in, it's like you got to pick a major. And I was like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Oh my gosh, there's all this pressure. And so I remember going, well, all I know is I want to make a lot of money, and I want to have a job that I love. Okay, and then, you know, of course, buying all the stuff that I want to buy. But that was my goal. That was my goal in life back then. And so that's what I was a business major, because I thought that would be the fastest way, the fastest track to something like that. And I hated it. Every single class, microeconomics, macroeconomics, finance, account, all those classes, I hated them. And I'm like, I got to get out of this, because this is not filling me with life. And then I got involved with Asian American Christian Fellowship, and I became a Christian, and I started serving and doing these different things and leading worship, small group, all that stuff, and I found life. I found life in Christ. And that's where I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't know how much it's going to pay, but it doesn't matter, because that life, I want to lay it behind. I don't want to live according to the old way anymore. I didn't know those words back then, but that was basically what I was saying. I don't want to live that way. And so since then, it's been, you know, I get to hang out with you guys, right? Look at yourself, right? Look at your neighbors. Like, oh, I get to hang out with you guys. I get to talk with you guys. I get to laugh and all this stuff. It is so fun. It's hard at times. You guys are hard at times. You guys are, you know, hard to... But man, I love you guys. You know, the leadership, we talk about you guys. Even Brittany, I was talking to her, and she's like, worship team, this is my first time leading, but the worship team, they're so supportive. I'm going, that's our church. And so I get to be with you guys. That's to me, it's just so awesome. But that's the life I want to live, where I'm investing in people, not just living for myself. So that's the first thing that he goes over. Paul talks about is, this is the worldly lifestyle. Don't follow them. Don't go into this, okay? Don't do that. But then he goes into, this is the kingdom lifestyle. This is how you live as a Christian, as a maturing Christian. Okay, so verses 20 to 24. That, however, is not the way you learned, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, notice in verse 20 and 21, he talks about you learned. Because if you look at Acts 19, you see that Paul spent 2 years with the Ephesians. And he taught and he trained and he led some of them to Christ. And he said, this is how you live. This is how you live. So when he's talking to them now, he's saying, don't forget those 2 years that I was with you. Because we saw not only all these things, not only his teachings, but we saw miracles happen. Don't forget that. Live according to this, the way that you know. He had thoroughly discipled them in the ways of the Lord. And he had this expectation of them to live the kingdom lifestyle. Now, there's a couple things that Paul encouraged them and us to do. The first one is put off the old self and put on the new. Okay, so Ephesians 22 and verse 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And 24, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the image that he's giving here is just like taking off clothes. You know, every day we take off our dirty clothes, we take a shower, and then we put on new clothes, right? Do you ever take off the old clothes, take a shower, and then put the dirty clothes back on? No. I mean, unless you don't have any other clothes, you put on new clothes, right? And he's saying the same thing. Take off that old way. Take off that old man. Take off the ways of the old person and put on the ways of the new one, of the new self. Don't go back. Don't be switching back and forth. And do one. Take it off and put on the new self. Now, what Paul is talking about in this whole taking off and putting on, it may sound simple, but it's more than just, well, take off the old clothes and put on new clothes and then I'm fine. It's everyday decisions to take off the ways of the old self every day, saying, God, I'm not that old man anymore. I'm not that old woman anymore. I'm a new person in you. And so teach me today what that looks like, what that means to step into that. It's a conscious decision that we have to make every single day to say, God, I want to walk in your ways. I want to walk in the kingdom ways. I want to be aware of what it is that you're doing, what's going on, and I want to get into alignment with you. It's an everyday decision that we have to make. It's not one that you just accidentally fall into. Hey, I'm living like a Christian now. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I stopped doing that stuff and now I'm doing this stuff. That doesn't happen. You know, one challenge that the Lord has given me recently, in the last few years, I would say, is to be less and less offended by other people. Because if I can do that, I would hold less grudges. There would be less fear, less anxiety, less all this negative stuff. If I can just understand who I am in Christ and not be so sensitive. And in one area, I mean, I'm still growing and I still need a lot of, so you can pray for me. Pray for me to grow in this. But one area in particular is in my driving. Yeah. Yeah, people cut me off and people do all kinds of stuff, honking and stuff. And I remember before, even after I became a Christian, it's like, what am I going to do to get back at that person? And I'm not really going to do anything. I'm not going to pull out a gun and start shooting. But in my mind, I'm entertaining all these different things. I'm going to go honk them. Man, I wish I had a bumper car. I could just, you know, bump them, right? And just, I have a bumper, so why can't I? They have a bumper. Why can't I just bump all these you know, negative thoughts. And I remember the Lord saying to me one day, do you know what's going on in that person that just cut you off? And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. And he was like, you don't know what's going on in that person's life right now. What if they had to race to the hospital? What if a loved one was in the hospital dying and they wanted to get there before that person expired? What if their child was at home and they were like, I got to get home. The child's by himself or herself or whatever. I got to get home. Or what if there's emergency at work? Or what if there are things that are going on? You don't know what's going on because you're just thinking about yourself. And it could be that they're just, you know, whatever, but there could be other explanations for what they do. And so what I started doing was I started praying for them. I say, Lord, if there is some kind of medical emergency, that you would help them to get whatever they need to get to and get there in time, get there safely. Lord, that you would bless their family and bless and protect them. Protect them, Lord, from what could be happening, for the attacks of the enemy, from different things, da, 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 da. And I started praying for them because I felt like they need prayer too. And so what I started doing was, instead of being the old Ross and living out like how the old Ross would live, which is cursing them, I started living out the new Ross and started to bless them and pray for them and have a heart for them. And that to me is part of the taking off. It's a decision. I don't want to live like that anymore. That doesn't honor you, God. To curse them, to try to, hey, what are you doing? You know, cut in front of them. That doesn't honor God. But praying for them. Praying for them. Like he says, pray for your enemies. I don't know if they're my enemy, but I'm going to pray for them. That's the new life. That's the new life that God wants us to live. So that's the first thing he says. Take off, put on. The next one, renew the mind. Renew the mind. It says that in verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. You know, when God renews our mind, the way we view the world and people and circumstances completely shifts. Because now we are looking at things from God's perspective, from an eternal perspective, rather than from a worldly or earthly perspective. Using godly wisdom instead of earthly wisdom. And, you know, this whole thing about just changing the mind, you guys know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? It talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is such a huge topic that cannot be covered today. So, and then we're actually going to do a series later on this year talking about renewing the mind. But today, for this in this area, I just want to talk about one small aspect of it, which is about how we get the best solutions for problems. You know, God says in Isaiah 55, 9, it says, for the heavens are higher than the earth, or for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than ours. I know you've heard that verse before. I know you've. But a lot of times, which one are we operating in? When we have problems, are we going to him, which his ways and his thoughts are so much higher? Are we saying, I can figure it out? So then what are we settling for? This or this? I want to show you a clip from The Chosen. Ooh, The Chosen. I get to watch The Chosen. Yeah. And it's one where Simon Peter is, he just met Jesus. He just meets Jesus. And for those of you that are watching, you know that he's in debt with taxes. And so he's in so much debt that he might lose his boat. He might lose his home, thrown in jail. And so he's desperate to figure out how to get out of debt. And so he's even gone so far as to say, I'll rat on my fellow Jews to the Romans. I'll turn them in because I need to get out of debt. He's so desperate. And so then he has this encounter with Jesus, and I want you guys to see this.
Because I'm on this boat, my final parable should be about fishing, yes? Simon, please send me that net. When this net is thrown into the sea, what happens, Simon? I mean most of the time.
It gathers.
A little louder.
It gathers fish.
Yes. This net gathers fish. All kinds of fish. Yes?
Yes.
All kinds of fish. And the kingdom of heaven is like what happens next. After the net is full, Simon and the others draw it to the shore, sit down, and sort out the fish. The good fish go into the barrels, the bad fish thrown away. So it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. Do you understand? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, like you all are now, is like the master of a house who brings forth his treasures, both new and old. You are to do the same with this knowledge. These parables I tell make sense to some, not to others. Be patient. That is all for today. I have some business to attend to with my new friend. Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. But we've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. At your word.
Take that gun! Ah! the boat, it's still
free. Get out!
My brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, how sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
Who would have thought that that's the way that Peter was going to clear his debt? No one would have imagined that. Oh yeah, throw your net over where just where we can walk, where the water's up to here, and you're going to catch a ton of fish. No one but God. And God does these miraculous things. And as we are shifting our minds, as we are being, our minds are being renewed, that we start to look for things. We start to believe God for things, for the miraculous, for the supernatural. And we don't just wait till God has to hit us over the head and go, oh yeah, you're doing stuff. But we actually start partnering with him and saying, God, this is who you are. You are a loving father who has resources beyond what I could imagine. You can come and do this. I don't know exactly how, but you can come. And I want to step into what it is that you are calling me to. Even though it doesn't make sense, let me do that. Who here needs a supernatural experience, supernatural provision, supernatural strategy or an idea? Maybe we're having problems with our finances. Maybe we're having problems with our kids or with our health or with the workplace or with our home life or relationships. Jesus has the answer for us. And a lot of times in the way he shows up is in very supernatural ways. I want to live like that and see God's hand moving and working. I need to shift my mindset. So that's the two things that Paul says, is I want you to take off, put on, and then renew your mind. The last thing that Paul talks about is grieving the Holy Spirit in this last section, verses 25 to 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God has forgave you. When I read that passage, the part that stood out was Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's the part that stood out. You know, in the original language, the word grieve means to make sorrowful or to be sorry. And because God put that in this context, it tells me that we have an impact on God, that we can make him happy and he can delight in us, but there are also times when we can grieve him. We can grieve him. And for me, when I read that, I'm going, oh man, I don't ever want to make God sad. And yet, this is exactly what happens when I decide to go my way instead of God's way. I grieve him. So what does it mean? Well, I mean, why? Why should God grieve? Why does God grieve when he sees this kind of behavior from us walking in the ways of the old man? And it's just like when we, you know, you get irritated when your Wi-Fi doesn't work well at home or at workplace, at your workplace, right? I get irritated when it's like, oh man, look at my signal, or it's just not, it's the same thing with the Lord. When we sin, it interrupts the connection with him. Because God is not about religion. God is about relationship. He's all about relationship. And when there are things that we put in between him and us, he doesn't like that. And it grieves his heart to know that there are things that we're making bad choices to put these things in there between us and him. And so he doesn't like it. It hurts his heart. He grieves. 1 John 1, 3 and 6, verse 3 and 6 says this: we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So if we say, hey, yeah, I'm walking with the Lord, but yet we're walking in darkness, we are putting things, we are lying, and we are putting things that keep us from fellowshipping with God. And that's why he grieves. That's why he grieves. You know, it's neat. Paul put in our passage, he made two lists. One on what grieves the Lord, what moves us away from him, and what delights the Holy Spirit, what moves us towards him. Okay, so if we can pull that up. The first one is falsehood and lies. Those things grieve his heart. Oh, he doesn't like that. But when we speak the truth, that gives him delight. He delights in us when we do that. Holding on to anger, right? Just getting, oh man, that person did this, da 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 da. I'm just so mad at that. Just holding on to that. No, he doesn't like that. But when we work through our anger quickly and forgive or reconcile, he loves that. Stealing. Yeah, he doesn't like stealing. But if we work, when we work and we do something useful, that's good. When we're thinking about ourselves, thinking about myself, instead of thinking about others and sharing with them, yeah, this moves us away, but this moves us towards him. When we're thinking about others and how we can serve them. Unwholesome talk. We come up with stuff, start saying stuff, and da-da-da, and it's not good, it's not building people. He doesn't like that. But the other side, building others up. Yes. Bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, malice, doesn't like that. Moves us away from him. But being kind, compassionate, and forgiving, just like Jesus was, brings us towards him. You know, we're not perfect people. You know, we're going to mess up at times because we're in this fallen world. But we are saints. And as long as we keep that in mind, this is who I am. And I want to walk with God. I want to stay connected with him. It's going to be good. And especially when we mess up, to repent. You know, I was getting ready for this message, and I was like, oh, maybe there's a clip from The Chosen I could put in there. And I found this one. I was like, oh, yeah, let me do that. So I was watching it, and I'm working on this grieving part. But then as I was watching, there's this one scene where the camera just comes onto Jesus' face, and he just sits there for a little bit. And just when that came up, I heard this thought, Do you know that you grieve him at times? And that just, it just broke every part of me where I was like, him? And I fell to my knees and I just sobbed. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Just like Peter did. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Jesus, that there have been times when I have hurt your heart because I was only thinking about myself. I was only thinking about, I was in survival mode, trying to get out of it in my own ways. And I hurt your heart. And then just felt like his hand came upon me and just feeling of reconciliation, just feeling clean again. And so then I went back to working on my message. And then I kind of wanted to process what just happened. So I was thinking about that. And then as I was thinking, the Lord said this. It's good for you to repent. Now we can experience close fellowship together again. And I was like, oh, that's words that I need to hear right now. That's words that I need to hear. So I was just kind of basking in that. And Jackson comes into the room and he goes, he was a little bit frazzled. And he goes, Papa, I can't go to sleep. And I was like, oh, how come? He goes, because I don't have my toy animal. And I haven't seen him for like a week. So then I was like, oh, okay. And just when he said that, I felt like the Lord said, this, what I just said to you, is also for Jackson. So then I explained to him a little bit about what just happened. And I go, Jackson, I'm getting a sense like you need to repent from taking the toys called, he calls it Baby Humphrey. It's a little humpback whale. And he just holds on to it for peace and security. And I go, Jackson, do you think that you've been putting that above God? And he goes, yeah, I have. I say, okay, well then let's repent. Let's repent for that, from doing that. So he sat down and he prayed. And he's like, yeah, Lord, I'm just sorry for doing that. And I don't want to put Humphrey above you. I want to follow you. I want you to be my source of peace, or something like that. So then I was like, okay, wow, that's good. And then he said, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, the Lord said, I love you, Jackson, and I'm with you. And then he said, yeah, there are times when I feel like no one sees me, or I feel very alone. And I was like, dude, we're homeschooling you. We're home all the time together. What's going on? I know, but there are times. Okay. We need to spend more time with you. I didn't say that. But just walking him through the process, and I was like, oh, Jackson, the Lord sees you all the time. Even when you're sad, when you're happy, he celebrates, he mourns with you. He knows, and he just spoke to you right now. And his countenance changed. And he was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. Like, oh, okay, all right. So he just left, and I went, whoa, wait a minute. Because I felt like things were kind of settled. So then I was like, hey, do you want to be like that shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep and goes after that one? And he goes, yeah, I want to do that right now. So, okay. Well, why don't you go look for Humphrey then? Look for him and see what you can find. So he goes, okay. So he's all happy, and he goes, and then I sit back on the computer, and I was like, thank you, Lord. But wouldn't that just be like you for him to find him right now? And sure enough, I hear this. Papa, I found him. And I was like, what? So I ran to his room. I was like, what? You just found him right now? He goes, yeah. Where was he? He was under the bed. And he looked at me like, he was under the bed. And then, you know, a little bit like, oh, Papa's going to scold me. And I was like, oh my gosh. The Lord uncovered Humphrey for you to see him under the bed. I'm sure you checked under the bed. I'm sure you checked all over. And the Lord, in the timing of what you're doing, of repenting and putting your values and all that into place, that the Lord is revealing. He's answering your prayer. He's bringing to you what you desire. Because you know that Humphrey does not go above God. And so Jackson's like, oh. Okay. So then he went to sleep, and he was so happy in his sleep. It's just restful, peaceful sleep. And I just feel like, yeah, Lord, that's the way we want to operate with you. When we mess up, that we come quickly to you, reconcile, and then able to experience true fellowship, deep fellowship with him. And it happens, it works even with kids. And so, yeah. I know none of us here would want to grieve the Lord. But are there places in our lives where we've done something to grieve the Lord? To like cause his heart to be saddened? Are there things in the life that we've chosen that's apart from the Lord, moved us away from him, where he goes, oh, don't do that. Ross, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not going to lead to anything good. I encourage you to repent. If there's things that you have done, repent. Go to the Lord. He's always waiting. He's always there, right? To say, come back. Come back. Let's start over again. So those are the things that I felt like Paul was talking to us about in Ephesians, the rest of Ephesians 4. So here's a few applications that we can apply. First of all, recognize some behaviors or ways of thinking that are your old self and commit to leaving them. Okay? So just think about your life, think about your behavior, think about the way you think and all these different things, and just go, Lord, is that, which one is that? New self, old self, which one? And then just, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. Help me to not do that anymore. Help me to leave that behind. Number two, find some new behaviors or thinking that are in line with your new identity. And if you need some reminders about our new identity and what that looks like, you can go back to listen to Pastor Barry's message on November 26, 2023, The Two You's and the True You. Okay? If you need a refresher course, go listen to that sermon. But step into that old, new person. And third, confess and repent from those old ways and realign yourself with him. Okay? I know repent, a lot of times it carries baggage with it. Like, But it's the best thing that we can do when we have moved away from God, repenting. You know, today, this is Catalyst. The reason why we do have the split worship sets, one in the beginning, one in the end, is because we want to give our people, our church body, an opportunity to minister or be ministered by the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today that as Brittany and the team plays the second set, that if you feel like, oh, there's something on my heart I need to give to the Lord, I would encourage you either do it up here or in your seat or whatever, to just do it, because the Lord is waiting. And he's like, I want to continue having deep fellowship with you. So leave those things. Leave those things at the altar. Come. So I would encourage you to do that. But may this week speak to you, and the Lord, you have encounters with him as our minds are being shifted, as we take off the old man, put on the new one. And then bring delight to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, the goodness of God. Goodness of God. We just love you. Thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. Thank you that you desire us so much, way more than we desire you. And Lord, that you are always moving towards us. Thank you, God, for your provision and your grace. Thank you that we can always come to you, that we just confess our sins, confess the places where we fell down, and that we can receive healing and wholeness and reconciliation with you. So Lord, I pray that that would happen today. If there's areas in our lives that we need to give up to you, that we would do that here today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.